Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
It's the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
What can I do? I'm on my grind.
And Sherry. Oh,
this party just got a little better.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Woo! We got live virtual happy hour tonight on the Bob and Sherry Facebook at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to join us there, looking forward to that. And we were laughing behind the scenes before the show started today at Kevin Costner responding to what John Mulaney did at the Academy Awards. So let me catch you up. The comedian John Mulaney was tapped to hand out the award for Best Achievement in Sound, right? And so he got up there. And I think by the time John Mulaney was finished, and we're going to play it for you, everybody in the world agreed that he should host the Oscars next year. And possibly every year afterward. So he started off by saying, for years, movies didn't have sound, and then they figured it out, and then he went off on such a tangent.
Now the Oscar for Achievement in Sound. You know, for years, movies didn't have sound, and then they figured it out. Some people say that the silent era was the golden era of film. These people are difficult and insane. Without sound, we wouldn't have been able to hear such classic lines as, you're going to need a bigger boat. I'll have what she's having. And he was in the Amazon with my mother when she was researching spiders just before she died. Or what about that moment in Field of Dreams when we hear, if you build it, he will come. And then Costner does it. He builds a baseball field. Well, I guess he doesn't build it. He mows down corn, and then there is a field. And then he's like, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball. And the bank is like, you want to pay your mortgage? And he's like, nah, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball. And then he finds James Earl Jones, who wrote The Boat Rocker, which I thought was a real book deep into my 20s. And he's like, people will come, Ray. He's the only one with a financial plan. But what's weird is Timothy Busfield pushes little Gabby Hoffman off the bleachers, and she falls down, and she's unconscious. Then Burt Lancaster is Moonlight Graham, and he comes up and he pats her on the back a couple times, and he's like, hot dog, stuck in the throat. And then he can't go back in the game, because I guess there's a rule in ghost baseball that if you leave the field at any point to become an elderly ghost and do the Heimlich maneuver, you can't return to the field. I love Field of Dreams. That should win Best Picture. Though they'll probably go with one of this year's. Here are the nominees.
I remember that. That was clever.
Kevin Costner took to Instagram. He shared the clip and he said, not a bad summary. And then he congratulated all of the winners. So here's somebody floated this on Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry, Elon X. Somebody floated this on Twitter and said, the best TV show in the world would be John Mulaney just doing summaries of famous movie plots. You could watch it for hours. And you know, it's actually a really great idea for a stand-up special, isn't it?
It is. That yeah, is definitely. Definitely. Costner, I guess his life is straightening out. What was the thing with Costner a couple of weeks ago? Was it the divorce?
The heinous, yeah, divorce.
Yeah.
And the revelation that, so who knows what's really real, right? But it came out just a couple of weeks ago that that Christina Baumgartner, his now ex-wife, was having kind of a hot and heavy thing with Costner's friend who was living in a guest house on the property. Now, who knows what's true? For her part, she's like, I wasn't having an affair. I'm just so tired of all of his Western cowboy crap, which I think as a woman is also a legitimate reason to be exhausted with Kevin Costner.
But she actually did intimate that. She actually kind of said she was tired of all the cowboy crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to cheaters where you'd have to go to like a sleazy motel and you'd have to, you know, park, you know, in another parking lot and kind of slip in? I mean, what happened to cheaters where your main guy is now in the bunkhouse? I mean, that's laziness.
It tells you everything you need to know about lust and human desire. You're living in a guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean at the generosity of your friend Kevin Costner, and you're hooking up with his wife. You have no self-control. You're true. Kevin Costner's wife, and you're sick of his cowboy crap and the fact that, you know, he's the strong, silent type, and you thought that was just an act, and it turns out he really doesn't have much to say around the house, and you're tired of him, and you want to move on, and you are hooking up with his friend in the guest house on the property?
I know.
How does this end any other way but in heartbreak and potential bankruptcy?
Yes.
And it did.
Somebody's going to see something. Yeah, the gardener's going to see something. He's going to talk. You know, it's just crazy. But, you know, you're right. She may have just said, I just cannot deal with any more 10-gallon hats on this guy.
And say something. You know, stop like looking at me in a brooding way and squinting at the sun. Say something. Right. We got morons in the news coming up. We have comedian Tim Hawkins. We have a meat shower. You're going to have to stick around to see what that's all about. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
Well, Pamela Anderson doesn't need the glam to feel confident. At 56, she is putting her bare face on full display for the issue number 24 of CR Fashion Book. She posed with confidence in a series of outfits featuring a sheer, long-sleeved bodysuit from the Attico. She paired it with white Shea Pirelli heels and bracelets from Pandora. She also styled several other pieces of high-end brands, including Prada. Now, while she's talking about this stuff, she doesn't have a stitch of makeup on. And she made a statement while she was attending the Paris Fashion Week not long ago, and several people had asked her, does she feel vulnerable or exposed during her barefaced, you know, time now going out in public? And she said, well, I was doing it for me. Can I walk out the door like this? Yes, I can. Like, I'm fine the way I am. And I just don't want to get into the whole glam thing and play the game anymore. She said, I just want to flip the script. I want to challenge beauty. And she said, my sons and my managers were insistent that I needed the glam team. And she told them, no, what are you talking about? The fact that you guys are saying that to me makes me not want to do it even more. I'm going to do a fresh face, no makeup, not pretend no makeup, really no makeup. And I just feel free. No one looked at me and went, ah. And since then, she has avoided spending all those hours in the glam chairs. And she says she's enjoying the freedom of embracing her natural looks and the idea that she hardly has to get ready. She said, it's like you spend half your life in a makeup chair in this industry. She said, I got a lot of great friends who are makeup and hair and stylists and all that kind of stuff. And those are all important people in this area. But if you're creating stuff for magazines and movies, but for every day, why lose yourself into that? And I think she's exactly right.
I saw the pictures of her. I thought she looked great. Not only that, I looked at some pictures of her long time ago, just as she was hitting Baywatch fame. And this is before the Tommy era and the heavy metal era and all the bad boys she was going to be getting together with. She just had this fresh look. I'm sure she had makeup on, but not that much. And I thought, I mean, it's just me. I just thought she looked so pretty and so much better than the dramatic makeup that she became familiarized with.
Sherry, now I'm gonna say this. You speak to this because you're a woman, but I feel like women get in the habit of doing the makeup. We went camping last weekend. Okay. We are in a state camp, we're in the middle of nowhere, and Carla starts to go put on her makeup. I said, what are you doing? I said, why don't you just let it ride? Pull your hair back in a ponytail, put a baseball cap on, and we're here. And she's, well, I know, but I like to have makeup on because you're here. I said, don't do it for me. I don't care. I mean, I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I have to encourage her to do it or she won't let it go. I mean, it's just because it's automatic. It's absolutely automatic.
You get used to the way you look with it, and then you feel kind of washed out or ugly without it, which is really sad. I mean, that's just the saddest thing ever, to feel like even your life partner can't see you without that stuff on your face. I think that I think Pamela, first of all, like we should all look like Pamela Anderson without makeup. We should all look like Alicia Keys without makeup, right?
Yeah.
But good for her. Good her. Because who is she doing it for? It's one thing when you're doing it for yourself because you love to play with it and it's fun and you love to experiment. You just enjoy it. It's another thing when you feel like you have to in order to be acceptable. And I think that's what she's saying. Because when she pushed back on her sons and her management and said, the fact that you want me to do it makes me not want to do it even more, tells you that she wasn't doing it for herself. She was doing it to live up to other people's ideas of her. And, you know, if you're lucky, I think maybe you reach a point in your life where you're like, tell you what, if you don't like it, close your eyes. I'm not doing this. I'm not living to please you anymore.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Well, she's not. So. She's also nowadays. I don't even know. Does she act at all anymore? Is she in anything anymore? She's not going to be up for certain roles that she would have been up for 20 years ago. You know, we all get a little bit older and you know, the windows of opportunity close down if you're in that business. So she's probably saying, you know, there's no money in it for me. Why, you know, why should I bother?
I think she chose to step away. I think she had had enough and she can afford to do that. I don't think this is a question of I'm old and nobody wants me anymore. I think it's a question of I'm old enough to live for myself now.
Yeah.
Y'all do you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
good for her.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
She
this
looks great.
Is Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here we go.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic.
Asinine.
With Morons in the News.
There is a town in Michigan called Standish, and a man has just been charged in an unusual breaking and entering case involving a former Michigan prison. The prison building he allegedly broke into is the former Standish Correctional Facility, which closed in 2009. Local sheriffs said this is definitely an unusual call. Police responded to an alarm at the former prison facility, which again has been totally abandoned. They allegedly found a glass door at the administration building smashed and 42-year-old Cody Bellamy walking out. They found several items in his 2015 Lexus, which was registered in the state of Oregon. These things are believed to be stolen jewelry, as well as some cash and burglary tools, plus an unregistered firearm. So why does somebody break into a closed prison building? His initial statements say that he just wanted to walk around and take a look. But in reality, when you are in possession of burglary tools and masks, that is not the case. So he is arrested. He's on a $100,000 bond, and he's in the joint for breaking into a prison that was closed years ago. How do you tell that to the bunkmate?
You tell that to the public defender. Like,
exactly.
How do you tell that to anybody?
And then, you know, they're going to have security, so the cops are going to come when the door is busted into. And what do you have in your car? Your 2015 Lexus? You've got stolen jewelry and other merchandise and a gun. Over to you, Lamar.
A masked man was arrested in Lower Moreland Township, Pennsylvania, after he allegedly attempted to set fire to a home. Police said the man was apprehended after being left behind by a getaway driver. Police in Pennsylvania apprehended the man after he attempted to set a home on fire and tried to flee when the attempt was unsuccessful, only to be left behind by his getaway driver. Quick question. Do we still call him a getaway driver if he doesn't help the criminal get away? I think he's terrible. According to the police, officers said that they dispatched after receiving a suspicious person with a mask was at the front door of the home. When they got there, the first officers on the scene saw a man attempting to set fire to the porch. It was engulfed in flames. The man attempted to flee to a vehicle that was parked in front of the home, but the vehicle took off before he got in. He then attempted to flee on foot, but it was apprehended in the backyard. After the man was arrested, officials said First responders put the fire out, and there were no injuries caused by the fire. The police have not yet released any identifying information on the man who was apprehended, though they said he is in custody. The vehicle that fled has not been located. Officials said he got away. So I guess that does technically make him a getaway driver. He's just no help to his partner.
You know who he was? I know who he was. He was Jamie from the Progressive commercials. The wheel man.
And finally, in morons in the news, out of Brevard County, Florida, a man whose wife reported him missing to the police department last year. She was getting demands for ransom payments, and she was paying them. She believed that her husband had been abducted by a cartel, and she paid more than $50,000 in ransom payments. But it turns out her husband wasn't abducted at all. Her husband was running this scam on her.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
because she reported him missing, the police invested a lot of resources into finding him, and they did. And when they finally got him and said, "Sir, are you being held captive?" He's like, "No, man, I'm good." And then they were like, "But your wife has been getting these texts with threats demanding ransom." And after some pressure, he caved and said, "That's me using a burner phone. And I wanted to get money from her to buy drugs."
Oh, wow.
More than 50,
I thought it was a
mistress. More than $50,000. And he was going to keep it up. And when I tell you these texts were so scary, she would get texts in the middle of the night that said, $500 an hour, buenas noches. The woman was terrified that her husband was going to be murdered by the cartel and that she would be next. And it turns out that Eric Johnson was just a great big lying liar who lies.
Yeah, she's better off without him.
Yeah.
He's going to experience some things in the next few months. And then later, when they lock him up. Yeah. That is Morons in the News, straight ahead. Comedian Tim Hawkins, it's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
I love this story so much. It's the best of humanity. It's going down in Richmond, Virginia. Employees at the Richmond Wildlife Center are dressing up and pretending to be red foxes as they care for an orphaned red fox kit that, for whatever reason, was abandoned by its mother.
Are they
so small? They bought a big stuffed animal red fox, and they have the kit nestled on top of that. And then the people wear red fox masks and special gloves, and they feed her with a bottle. And they're being really careful that she doesn't, this little orphan fox kit doesn't imprint on humans. Now, I don't know how realistic their red fox masks are. She may not be imprinting on humans, but this may be a real Silence of the Lambs situation when she gets released back into the wild.
That is so sweet, though. That is so sweet.
Yeah. So here's how they found her. And their goal is, they're doing all of this because they want to be able to release her back into the wild. So on Leap Day, February 29th, a man was walking his dog in Richmond. And he spotted something in an alley. And so he and the dog went closer, and he thought it was an abandoned kitten, like, you know, a cat kitten. And so he turned her over to the Richmond Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Our Animals. She was less than 24 hours old. She still had like a bit of her umbilical cord. And the SPCA was like, "Sir, this is not a cat. This is a fox." So they tried to locate her mother and her mother's den. They found the den, but the superintendent of the grounds where the den was said, "Oh yeah, we trapped those foxes and removed them." They think the kit fell out of the trap or off the back of the trapper's truck. So they brought her to the wildlife center, where they are now dressed up like red foxes, feeding her by hand and nursing her back to health. It's a great animal rescue story.
It's a Disney movie. Are you
kidding?
It is. Yeah.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Tim Hawkins.
Well, my testimonies are usually how I mess up, man. Remember, I was doing this show about 3 years ago, and it was this big deal. It was about this size, almost like 2,000 people. And I was doing this show, and after I did pretty good. And after the show, they took me to this room with this table, had a pen on it. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do here? And they said, well, we're going to let some people in, and we want you to sign autographs. And I said, okay, I can do that. And they did. They opened the door, like 100 people line up at that table for my autograph. I'm like, oh, sweet. I felt pretty good about myself. The first lady in the line, she walks up to me and she goes, would you put your favorite Bible verse under your name for me? Just your name and then put your favorite Bible verse under your name. Did you do that?
What? Okay. Sure.
Well, my favorite Bible verse is Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. That was my favorite verse. But that night, I forgot the verse. I was blank on it. You know how sometimes, you know, like, sir, when you dress today, you know what I'm talking about? It's like your brain isn't, man, it's just not working. So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, it's Psalm something. I got to pick something. And I said, oh, I'll just have to make up a verse here. So I did. I picked Psalm 38, verse 7. Just picked it out of thin air. Psalm 38, 7. Okay, I did it. Like an idiot, I did them all that way. Tim Hawkins, Psalm 38, 7. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm driving home that night. I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope that was a good verse. Oh, Lord, could you change the scripture if it's not just for one night? But he did not hear my prayer. So I get home and I look up Psalm 38, verse 7. And to my horror, it says, lo, I have a painful disease in my loins. Oh, yuck it up. Thanks for the help. What are there, a billion verses in the Bible? And I chose that one? And I signed it 100 times. And sent it out in my own little mission field. Go! Take the word! Don't forget my loin problem! Build schools and hospitals! Don't forget my loin disease! Because you know those people looked it up. You know they did. They probably made a big deal out of it. Come on here, sit down, kid. Sit down, we're going to read this first. Turn the TV off. Get over here. Here it is, Psalm 38:7. Shh. It says, laughter. Shh. It says, lo, I have a painful disease. I shook his hand. I shook his hand. I shook that pervert's hand. What was I doing? I knew it. See, look at you. Some of you don't get that. Lo, I have a painful disease in my loin. Never gonna see that verse cross-stitched on a pillow.
Well, I tell you what, he worked that one part of that bit, didn't he?
Oh my God! Oh yeah. My God!
That is the comedian Tim Hawkins, and we're going to post him on up at BOBANDSHERI.com. All you got to do is click the menu tab and look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Now, while you're there, there are two other things you can do. One of them is nominate a teacher, and you can nominate yourself to win an incredible vacation for two to Margaritaville Beach Resort in beautiful Fort Myers, courtesy of our pals at Visit Florida. I mean, this is a really cool trip, and teachers deserve all the love we can throw their way. Then when you get done doing that, why not subscribe to the Bob and Sherry newsletter? We never spam y'all. We send it out once a month. And it's always filled with fun stuff and prizes and all sorts of cool things. That's BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
We are teaming up with Dr. Marty's Pet Food to make it Love Your Pup Month at BobandSherry.com. Upload a picture of you and your dog, and you could win up to $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend dog food. Visit drmartypets.com/Bob. On credit card late fees, they have just been capped at $8. If you have a credit card, that is very good news. It's part of a larger initiative to get rid of junk fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau estimates the new regulation will save families more than $10 billion a year. And it is representing 95% of the outstanding credit card debt. So that's a good thing. I looked at that story. I can't remember what they used to call it. My bank called it that. It was if you went below if you went down to zero or below with your account and a check came in, they would kick in and cover the check so that it doesn't affect your credit. But the Ready Reserve, that was the name of it. Oh, yeah. But it cost $35 if you screwed up. It was, and that was a long time ago. And $35, I mean, $35 is $35. But it was like, you know, to me back then, it was like $80. And I didn't have $80 to throw around. I am so glad they're doing that.
Well, now, if this is saving billions of dollars, is anybody paying their card on time? I mean, come on. I mean, it's possible you could possibly be saving that much money, but that would mean a whole bunch of people is just not paying their card. I mean,
well, it's just part of new regulations. It's not the only one. It's just part of new regulations. And I think it's a good thing.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a big part of what some banks make in a year.
The banks love for you to bounce a check. Insufficient
they
funds.
Do.
Oh my gosh. It's a moneymaker.
This is a very difficult subject for me because I have teenage daughters, one of whom said to me two Sundays ago, "Mom, is it time for me to get a Student Discover credit card?" And when I tell you that my blood ran cold, I said, well, before we do that, let's talk about how credit cards work. She was like, uh-huh. And I said, tell me, how does a credit card work? And you know, and no judgment, because I too did not know how a credit card worked for a very, very long time. I did not understand what the word revolving meant when they talk about revolving credit. Did not know what that meant. And so after we talked about it, and her eyes were wide with terror, I was like, yeah, see, exactly. Like, a credit card is the most dangerous thing you can have. It can get you into more trouble than a switchblade.
It's true. Revolving means you take a look at your bill and your head spins around.
Because a lot of places won't let you whip out a switchblade. But everywhere will let you whip out a credit card. Like, it's so dangerous. And so we had that conversation. And then I had to talk to my other daughter about tires. And my husband's head nearly exploded because he was listening to this conversation. When I first started driving, I thought a set of tires lasted roughly 5 years. I did. I was like, what's this business? Like, I mean, tires, that's probably 5 years, right? I didn't know anything about rotating them. I thought alignment had something to do with your spine, not with your car. The first time a mechanic said to me, you're gonna need to replace these tires. I was like, what are you talking about? I've had this car for 2 years. So I am very patient with my children because they're like me. And I can remember being so bewildered by, what do you mean tires don't last 5 years? And what the heck is happening to that credit card bill? Bob and I interviewed somebody once a very, very long time ago. And it was one of those things, when the guy said it, I knew it would stay in my head forever.
What did he say?
And it did. He said, if you run up a $2,000 balance on a credit card and only make the monthly minimum payments, it'll take you more than 20 years to pay it off.
Go! Oh, God. And there's so many folks listening right now that who owe 10 grand.
Yeah, well, most of us, right? I don't know about you, but I've got credit card debt.
Yeah.
So I remember what that man said long after I've forgotten everything else. So when you guys start talking about credit card and bank fees and junk fees, I'm over here shaking and in a cold sweat.
I think it's so bad that credit card companies go on campuses and try to offer students. I don't know if they've shut that down, but they had it when I was a kid, and it's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Yes. All right. So that's good news anyway. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
On March the 3rd in 1876, a woman in Bath County, Kentucky, was outside making soap. And all of a sudden, there was a shower that came down, but it wasn't rain. It was a shower of meat that fell from the sky. There was not a cloud in the sky and a shower of meat. Large chunks of flesh fell from the sky. And the woman's husband said it felt like real large snowflakes. And the day after the meat fell from the sky, I guess they started telling people or whatever. And so numerous people came out to investigate the veracity of this, okay? This one guy, Harrison Gill, he made note that the meat sticking on fences. It was scattered across the ground. There were chunks of meat that were like 5 by 5 centimeters. One was even 10 square centimeters. And he noticed that the meat was flesh, but he didn't know exactly what. So two other men showed up and they taste tested the meat. I don't know how that works out. They taste tested it and they thought it was either venison or mutton. Okay. So this other guy rolls up, and he analyzed some of the preserved specimens, and he says, no, this is not meat. This is actually nostoc, and that's a type of gelatinous bacteria that floats up, and it hangs up in the atmosphere, and when it finally gets enough moisture, it swells up, then it falls down like it's raining, and it has nicknames like witch's butter and star slumber.
Explain again. It comes from the ground. Is that what you were saying?
It's a bacteria that floats up, and that was his deal. But there was no cloud, so there was no rain, so that wouldn't make any sense. So a pair of histologists, they analyzed 7 of the specimens, and they found 2 to be lung tissue, 2 were made of cartilage, and 3 were muscular tissue. So the best explanation came when Dr. L.D. Kastenbein wrote in the Louisville Medical News, the flesh shower was a coordinated bout of projectile vulture vomit. After analyzing a specimen of his own, he set fire to it, and he made note of a rancid mutton smell. So he says, this is his quote, the only plausible theory that explains this is that there's a disgorgement of some vultures that were flying around over the same spot. And I guess, look at it this way. When one vulture threw up, I guess it made the other vultures throw up. So they're all up there and they're all throwing up and the wind caught it.
I'm right behind him. By the way, right now. Good Lord. Hey, enjoy that Bojangles biscuit, folks.
You know what I'm never going to be able to forget are the people that taste tested it.
Oh, yeah. Who is this? Billy Joe and his buddy walks up and goes, "What do you think it is?" "I don't know. Try it. See what you think."
Taste it.
Okay. I think it's goat. No, I think it's deer. Oh, my God.
Hey, oh, my
if
word.
If you were to tell those guys they needed more fruit and vegetables in their diet, they go, "No way I'm going to get that in my mouth. No way."
I know.
Meat shower. And I looked this up once I saw this article. And I mean, it's a thing. Now, they're saying right now there is still no definitive explanation. Because that sounds like, I mean, what's the odds of a bunch of vultures throwing up at the same time? But it was meat. It was absolutely meat. They checked it. It was meat.
The vulture thing makes sense, actually.
Well, vulture thing does make sense.
But is there any scenario where meat falls from the sky and you pick it up and put it in your mouth? Come on.
For me.
Yep. No. Listen, that is the 5-second rule to the extreme. Okay? Too much. Yeah. That's too much. Well, I mean, think about this. How bad has something got to be that it makes a vulture? If a buzzard throws up, I mean, come on now. A buzzard throws up anything. and then you're gonna pick it. Yeah, the buzzard will eat anything. And if it's too sick for the buzzard's stomach, what are you doing picking it up to do a taste test? Well, my God.
You know, if that happened now, wouldn't you love to be the reporter who's sent out on the scene?
Hi there. Action News. I'm Brad Anderson. We think this is meat from the sky. I'm going to try it, and I'll let you know right after the weather. It's so true.
Great local news break.
It is.
Whoa, it's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
Is cabbage the new bacon? Is cabbage the new bacon? And here's what it said. Cabbage is winning. Cabbage has been the global culinary workhorse for centuries. China's grows the most. Russians eat the most. It has fed generations of American immigrants, but now a vegetable that can make your house smell like a 19th century tenement has become the darling of the culinary crowd. In the words of this writer's mother-in-law, cabbage, who knew? Like so many American food trends, fancy cabbage dishes first started turning up in restaurants on the coast a few years ago, but they are spreading fast across the country. One chef compared the cabbage mania to the hoopla over bacon in the 1990s. In Denver, Colorado, Sep Sua sprinkles a charred cabbage wedge with anchovy breadcrumbs. Cabbage is bathed in brown butter hollandaise at Gigi's Italian Kitchen in Atlanta.
You want me to tell you? I'll tell you how to cook the cabbage. This is why cabbage and bacon go together. You can't have good cabbage without some bacon grease. That's what makes the cabbage is the bacon grease, okay? You put the bacon grease in, then you got some.
Do you do this?
I do this? Yeah. Listen, I make cabbage steaks. I will slice it like a big, thick ribeye, put it on the grill, and grill it.
I've seen people do that.
Yeah. And I grill it with bacon grease. It's awesome.
Sherry, do you eat much cabbage? Because when I think of it, all I think about is going into, we had a neighbor who was Polish, and they would make some cabbage, and that house smelled to high. I swear, I walked out of the house smelling like cabbage. It's just so strong.
You can't make egg roll in a bowl without cabbage. It is cabbage, a critical ingredient.
There you go. Delicious. It's the hot thing, folks. It is the hot thing. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
We love to have you join us on the show. If there's something you've heard and you'd like to be a part of the conversation, or there's something going on that's exciting in your life, 24/7, 844-52-SHERRY. That's S-H-E-R-I. Or go to wherever you get your apps, download the Bob and Sherry app. You see a little microphone, hit it and record it. We'll put it right on the air. Max?
Good morning, guys. This is Kwanda in Charlotte, one of your Black listeners. And I just want to say this is why I so enjoy y'all, and y'all could and y'all are my people. Because when Doc made that comment about Lamar is Black History Month is over, so, you know, go ahead. I love that y'all able to laugh it off. And, like, it's a joke and it's funny. And when Sherry talked about just going to jail about the taxes, I so feel that. I just lock me up. I do not want to go in here and sit. And like Bob said, you got to bring all this paperwork. I didn't bring all the paperwork that I was supposed to bring. So now I got to call them back or go back up there. Love you guys. Enjoy the show for over 10 years now. Y'all have a blessed day.
Wanda, we can be cellies because I'm serious. I just can't do it anymore. I can't. I'm scrolling my newsfeed last night. There's some crazy person on Twitter ranting about, you know, Social Security and Medicare. And I looked at that and I thought, you know what? I'm just done participating. I'm just not... I can't do this paperwork anymore.
Giving up, are you?
White flag. And I read that the IRS, for the first time in years, is going after like thousands of American taxpayers who earned more than $400,000 who haven't filed in years and years. And I'm like, who are these chillaxed bros that are literally not even bothering to try to pay taxes and they're living their best lives? That's a lot of money, okay? And these people are not stressing about it at all. Meanwhile, just the act of figuring out what paperwork to bring took 5 years off my life. Kwanda, I will see you in lockup, sister, because that's where I'm headed to.
There aren't very many things that piss me off more than what you just described with somebody making $400K and they haven't paid their taxes
in years and years.
And $400K, that's one of the lighter earners. I mean, there are people that are making millions of dollars a year, zip, nothing. You know, sometimes they're getting away with it through loopholes and whatever. But the rest, you know, the rest of us who get it, get a paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever, that's who carries the country. You know, that's who cares. Yeah. The honest people, the hardworking people carry the country. It drives me out of my mind. And then I hear people saying, oh, the IRS is evil. They're not evil. That's what they get paid for, going out and getting taxes from somebody who thinks that they're better than the rest of us or smarter, or as Leona Helmsley said, whose husband owned the Empire State Building, the little people are paying the taxes. Well, that's what taxes are for, the little people. Ugh.
Y'all going to be on the outside. I'm going to need you to put money in me and Kwanda's commissary account so that we can buy honey buns to use as prison money. Okay? I'm just asking for that.
Exactly.
Now, I think we have another. Do we have another one, Max?
Yep.
Bob and Sherry, this is Valerie from Michigan. And I am cracking up because when you're talking about the time changes and time zones, growing up in Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the division between the Central and Eastern time zone is actually through part of the Upper Peninsula, and I happen to live near that line. So I went to school on the Central time, but my parents worked on the Eastern time. We lived in the Central time, but since my parents worked in the Eastern time, my household went on the Eastern time. And I had a set of grandparents in each time zone. So when we would like plan parties or things like that, we often use the terms like your time or my time or slow time or fast time. So it was a constant calculation no matter where we had to be or what we were doing. And then when I went to college, that was in the Eastern time. My parents were living in the Central time. So again, just always that calculation when we're talking about times that we're leaving places and going places, we always had to make that distinction and still do to this day. So for some of us, it's just a part of life and that's what we know. And I can see how for others that sounds absurd. So love you so much. Thank you for all that you do and all the laughs that you create. Love you. Bye.
Hey, it made you better at math.
Girl. Yeah,
made her
could
better
you do
at
it?
Math, probably.
I would always be late or early and confused. I shout out to everyone living in multiple time zones. Oh, I would not figure it out. Are you kidding?
You would.
I woke up Saturday morning and thought that I got the days wrong. last Saturday morning. I was a whole hour off until about 2 p.m. So yeah. Please, yeah, I couldn't do it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the talk back feature.
Talk back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
If you're looking for bonus Bob and Sherry content, sign up for our monthly newsletter at bobandsherry.com. And hey, while you're there, nominate a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida.
Bob and Sherry, go.
All right, it's Thursday. Happy Throwback Thursday, gateway to the weekend. And thought this might be kind of fun to revisit. So Adele popped by the Tonight Show and sang one of her biggest hits with the Roots and all of the children's toys, the Fisher-Price and preschool musical instruments. Her voice, listen to this.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya. I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be. When we were younger and free, I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. How from the other side, I must have called a thousand.
She's pretty remarkable.
Just kind of toss that off while somebody's playing like a tiny multicolored xylophone next to you. Just incredible. Yeah. We'll get that posted up so that we can share it with you. You'll find it over there on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. So the story is that Adele is going to re-up her Vegas residency. And I think that the Vegas residency is the new genius tool for singers like Adele. Because she doesn't want to tour. It's really hard on her voice and on her body. Remember when she was touring, how she was always sick? And forever,
I was about to
like,
say that. She's always had problems.
Yeah.
She's always had problems on the road. She even had, didn't she have a problem with the Vegas residency? Wasn't that canceled for physical problems?
I think COVID.
I what the issue was. COVID?
I think it was COVID, wasn't it? Maybe not her, but somebody in her band. you know, you think, like, I don't know how Taylor Swift does what Taylor Swift does, because touring is really, really hard on performers, especially on their voices. But Adele has now figured this out. And so if you're a fan, you're going to get another shot, I do believe, to see her in Vegas. We're going to post that up on the Bob and Cherry Facebook, because this is...
Yeah, just an amazing talent.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Cherry's.
I believe this.
Let's kick this off with a talk back, Max.
Hey, Bob, Cherry, Max, Stockton, Lamar. This is Carol from Astoria, Oregon. And I'm actually wanting to speak specifically to Cherry. I'm a little bit behind on the podcast, so she might have covered this already. But Cherry, Princess Kate, where is she? I know this must be something that is also dominating your news feed and something that you want to know more about. It seems like it could be a deep dive into a rabbit hole. So enter stage left today, the Marchioness of Chumley. And I only know how to pronounce that because I asked Alexa. Otherwise, it's like a Jane Austen novel. I can't really understand it. And her name looks like Chalmondeley, which is like the Worcestershire sauce of last names. Anyway, where is Princess Kate? What about these Photoshopped images? My daughter, who is a teenager with a face app on her phone, could make a better image in like 2 minutes. What's happening? Can we figure it out? Thanks, Cherry.
Well, I will tell you, girl, first of all, the Reynolds Wrap hat is extra snug on my head this morning. I am so far down the Kate-spiracy / Water Kate scandal. So here's the deal. On Sunday, Kensington Palace released a Happy Mother's Day photo. It was Mother's Day in the UK, showing the Princess of Wales and her three children. And the photo looked wonky. But you know what? If you just glanced at it on your mobile, you know, you're like, yeah, whatever. Boy, she looks good. Haven't seen her in a while. Glad she's recovering, right? And then Sunday night, something unprecedented happened. Something I've never seen in my entire long media career. Something I never thought I would see. And that is the Associated Press, Reuters, and Getty Photo Images issued a kill order on the photo on the grounds that it was deceptive and manipulate it. I can count on one finger the number of times I've seen the AP do that. I asked other people who've been in media and they were like, no, girl, it existed, but we've never seen it used. I cannot convey to you enough how wild and foul it is for those news agencies to issue a kill order on a photo. It turned out that the photo had been heavily manipulated, and not just a little Photoshop to like smooth out some wrinkles or brighten up some teeth. I mean, heavily manipulated. And there were things in the photo that jumped out, even to people that were glancing at it casually. No wedding ring or engagement ring on Kate's hands. And then all sorts of wonky. And we're not going to get into the weeds of how many layers of the photo had been jacked up, the weird focus issues, the strange, obvious photoshopping of Princess Charlotte's arm. Like, there's just a lot going on there. And it caused an absolute uproar, in part because a kill order from AP basically is saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. It's unprecedented. And the royal establishment responded by issuing an apology from Princess Catherine herself, saying that, like many amateur photographers, she experiments with editing. So the world did not take this, because everyone seeing that was like, okay, first of all, are you telling me that this woman who's too sick to show her face is required to do the royal family's social media? What is this, a radio station? I don't think so. And it was such an obviously bad hack job. And there were already so many other things that were problematic, like the fact that she hasn't been seen since the 28th of December, like the fact that originally Kensington Palace said she would not return to royal duties till Easter, and then just a few days ago updated that to, We're not sure she's coming to Troop in the Color, which is in the middle of June. William has been shaky, rattled, pulling out of major events like the memorial service for his godfather, the king of freaking Greece. I know you were like, wait, Greece had a king? Yeah, Greece had a king. He was supposed to eulogize his godfather. Then there was the weird death by catastrophic head injury of another young noble slash aristocrat who is like 47th in line to the throne. And then there's the Marchioness of Cholmondeley, Rose Hanbury. And if that name is ringing some bells, it's because this is the woman that William allegedly was having an affair with a couple of years ago. So you asked, what do I think? Yesterday, the Princess of Wales lawyer allegedly told a member of the British press, I think she's dead. And if I don't hear back from her, I'm going to report it. What do I think happened? I think something went catastrophically wrong with that surgery, and she is unable to speak or be photographed. I don't think William beat her with a baseball bat. I don't think she's been taken away by aliens. I'm not sure I believe the story that she wants a divorce and is refusing to cooperate with the palace. My gut tells me it's something far more serious than that, because the palace doubled down with another doctored photo day before yesterday. Another doctored photo. They could make all of this go away so easily, unless they can't. I want you to think about that. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
She was known as the Giggling Granny, but behind the warm smile of Nanny Doss was the heart of a cold-blooded murderer. In 1954, she confessed that over the course of nearly 30 years, she'd killed 11 people. Four husbands, two children, one of her sisters, her own mother, two grandsons, and a mother-in-law. The casual killing of her own family members made Nanny Doss one of history's most notorious female serial killers.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
I had to legit shove Bigfoot off my conspiracy theory bingo card to make room for Kate Middleton. But a couple of other odd stories are breaking in the British press. One of them is that Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley is what it looks like, is divorcing her husband over some issue with their daughter, who the gossip, the hot tea in London is not fathered by Cholmondeley, but by Prince William. Mm. And at the same time, this story about the Princess of Wales stepping down from royal duties. So I just want to remind everybody, I pray that Catherine Middleton is okay. I feel like something catastrophically bad happened during her medical procedure, and I don't know why it's a secret. Especially when I will remind you that about a second before her death, while being treated for cancer, they dressed Queen Elizabeth up in a plaid skirt and a sweater and had her signing papers and taking pictures. So the British royal family is perfectly capable of dragging a sick person out of bed for the optics. So why aren't they in this case? What the heck is going on here?
I was I've been looking at it, and I don't see the photoshopping as easily as you do, or certainly your daughters. Like, I gave a cursory look at the original photograph with the children, and I just went, all right, I don't know, maybe somebody, thinned somebody's leg or whatever. But when her personal lawyer came out and just frankly said, I think she's dead, I went, whoa, now is this somebody who's known for being a little off the rails? Who is this lawyer? Because that's quite a statement.
There are a lot of people that think that. And it's, to me, if she's dead and they haven't come forward, it's because she died under sinister circumstances. Because there's no freaking way she would die a natural death and they would keep it a secret. This isn't Game of Thrones. It's 2024. Come on. And that's the other thing, the arrogance of the team at Kensington Palace to think they could just release these whack manipulated photos and nobody would know. I'll tell you what's going to solve all this. a team of Swifties on Twitter have taken this on. It's done. The Swifties could have found Osama bin Laden if they had been asked. I told my husband last night, I was like, we are living in weird, shocking times. And as a history buff, I feel like I can see the gears and cogs of history turning right now. We may see the fall of the House of Windsor in our lifetime. We may see it. We may see it before the 4th of July. Something really whack is going on here, and I stand by it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Our listener Barney inspired us to compile a list of the top 10 things you wouldn't do but once. So far, we have shoot yourself point blank in the foot, give yourself a home bikini wax, get into a cage with two mountain lions, unclog a valve on a portalette truck. Hello, Barbara.
What was it, Barbara?
Hi there, guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay on this phone?
Yeah, can you hear us okay in this microphone?
I had tongue reduction because I have sleep apnea, and I was not able to use the machine.
Tongue reduction?
I've never heard of someone having a tongue reduction.
Well, I had not either, so I didn't have anybody ask how painful it might be.
I've never heard of a woman who wanted less. Thank you.
Do you know what? Don't give him a hard time. He has waited since his earliest days in broadcasting to say that.
I have. Thank you.
Barbara, so how much of your tongue did they... And how did they give you a tongue reduction?
No, don't ask how. Please don't ask how.
No, you got to do the more tongue line. I get to ask how. Barbara, how?
You got to know because I think this is more painful than shooting myself in the foot.
Okay.
Okay. First, they give you shots in the very base of your tongue, way back there, right? To numb it, but it doesn't numb it. And then they stick these probes in and put a metal plate on your stomach for you to, you know, you're sitting in a chair like a dental chair. Put that on there for you. Put your hand on so you don't get electrocuted. And then they fire these waves into your tongue to kill the muscle.
like sonar waves?
Like Frankenstein.
Radio frequency waves, I think you said.
And that shrinks your tongue a little?
Yeah, it kills the muscle back there. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little smaller.
Really?
And so I'm sitting there, tears running down my eyes, you know, down my cheeks.
And it really hurts to have, because, I mean, there was no cutting involved, right?
No, but can you try shocking your tongue once in a while?
Yeah, Sherry, try that.
I mean, not really.
I know one way to be shocked.
Todd said there's a website.
And on.
It was horrible. I had it done at the local ear, nose, throat doctor, and I was probably in shock at the end of it,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't leave. I was shaking all over,
mm-hmm.
you know, about to pass out.
And it sounds like something that's done in a torture session in World War II by the
like
Nazis.
Like Mengele.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I told him. He sent it over and would find bin Laden, you know?
Yeah, exactly. God, Barbara, so did it work? Tell me it worked.
Well, I still have some problems with sleep apnea, and I still can't use the machine, so... You know, I just go around sleepy all the time.
Did you walk around afterward with, like, what did your tongue feel like immediately after this procedure?
Well, yeah, after it was over, I really didn't have any pain. It was just during it, and imagine being electrocuted in your tongue.
Are you saying that they shot bolts of electricity into your tongue and it
yes.
didn't work?
That's right.
Do you know what I just want to address the entire medical community right now.
Yes.
The Lord would not have led you to Valium if the Lord did not mean for you to giveth it out like candy.
I know.
That's not true. Listen, Sherry, after it's over and I'm sitting there about half dead, he said, oh, well, I guess I could have put you in the hospital and put you to sleep for this.
Oh, you think? You think?
Yeah.
I want all medical practitioners to know.
Mm-hmm.
That Valium is there for a reason, mm-hmm. and you should giveth it, like, plentifully. If you're going to shoot electricity into a woman's tongue while she's sitting on a chair, you give her Valium.
Did you have a loved one with you? Did you have a loved one with you during this procedure?
No, I didn't. I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
I would have been your loved one. I was Bob's loved one when he had. What did you have? Your colonoscopy.
I was Bob's loved one, too. He had something mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
Y'all
Bob requires, it takes a village of loved ones with Bob. It does. But Barbara,
ha, ha, ha.
Barbara, I would not have allowed you to do this. I would have said as they were strapping you in, are you not going to give her like some Valium?
Wait a minute, you were not there for the colonoscopy. He was.
I picked you up from your colonoscopy and took you to Chick-fil-A.
You had an injection in your back.
Oh, that's right. I had the injection for that.
I took you to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Afterwards.
Yeah. I apologize for that. Well, Barbara, so you're just hired all the time, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. We'll get a job in morning radio. Thank you, Barbara. All right, bye-bye.
Bob and Sherry, live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
You know how some people, they get, when they tell you about it, get so excited that the night before, they had breakfast for dinner. You know, they get, oh, yeah, we had breakfast for dinner. Oh, I love breakfast for dinner. Yeah, oh, it was eggs. And then we had some rolls and we had bacon and, you know, I don't get excited about that. When I think of breakfast for dinner, I think of a couple of periods in my life where breakfast for dinner would have been the remains of a Captain Crunch box, you know, and that did not make me happy. And the reason for that was, I don't know, whoever was in charge didn't get us any food. And so there wasn't much to eat. However, I saw a recipe in the New York Times for breakfast, for dinner, and you could also have it for breakfast, that just blew my mind. Would you like to hear this?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It is a couple of strips of bacon, a generous scoop of orzo, and some Parmesan cheese, and then skillet pasta with bacon and eggs. They go on to say it is a brilliant new recipe. It's quick and easy, a little luxurious. The runny egg yolks mingle with the bacony, cheesy pasta to create a carbonara-leaning one-pot meal. Eat this for Friday dinner with a handful of arugula on the side. And that, of course, is for health. Or for Sunday breakfast with sliced oranges and never-ending coffee. Does that just sound so fantastic?
That does sound good. That sounds really good.
Orzo, strips of bacon, some Parmesan cheese, and it's in a skillet pasta with bacon and eggs. I would love that for dinner. And I would love that on a Sunday morning, too.
Do you and Mary never have breakfast for dinner? You don't ever
don't. For whatever reason, I think when her kids were with us, I think she would do that every once in a while. And I always liked it, but we have never done it, just the two of us, and I don't know why.
We do it when the girls were younger, we did it a lot. We do it every once in a while, but since Kevin has had his leg rebuilt, like the bionic man, and can't look after himself, I don't know if you know this, but I cook him a full breakfast every single morning.
And you do this? Oh my goodness.
And this, yeah. He gets a variation. He's trying to eat healthier. So some days I make him a bowl of homemade grits, scrambled eggs, Canadian bacon, and toast. Other days I might throw a Poppin' Fresh in the oven and make him a turkey sausage biscuit with scrambled eggs and a bowl of grits and a banana. But I mean every day. So since that man is getting breakfast for breakfast, I'm not making breakfast for dinner. But yeah, that was the thing. I love breakfast food. I could eat breakfast food 24/7, like no problem.
If I'm him, I'm saying, boy, it's taken longer to heal than I thought. When's breakfast ready?
In the next couple of months, you need to check his room for a hammer, because the way you're feeding him, he starts to get too well, he gonna pop something with a hammer. I'm lucky. I'm taking care of Carla like that, except she doesn't eat breakfast. The most she will eat is some toast, and maybe once a week, because she can't eat the same thing twice. It's ridiculous. But once in a week, she'll say, I have a scrambled egg sandwich. But other than that, there'll be like toast or cereal, something simple. She is not a big breakfast person. She just doesn't go for breakfast.
He won't eat anything like that's even remotely sweet for breakfast, which takes cereal and oatmeal out of the picture. And I would ignore him and let him fend for himself as best he can, you know, get into the refrigerator on crutches and eating with one hand. But, you know, you don't heal well if you don't have proper nutrition and hydration and stuff. Yeah. Like you, You need all of that. So he did mention today when I brought him over his plate, including his little silver cup that has his vitamins in it, right? He was like, oh, I am going to miss this.
I bet.
Yeah.
You know what got me? The little silver cup. What is he? Is he the king of Sweden?
He's the,
that is
right the king of the living room. He's the king of the living room.
Yeah.
I make him like I make him his coffee, and then I cook his breakfast, then I bring him something cold to drink, and then I take the trash out and scoop the cat boxes, and then I come and go. I come to work. Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. And then I clean the whole house and take care of the animals some more, and make them lunch, and then make them dinner.
What do you do in your spare time?
Oh, in my spare time, I'm learning a foreign language.
Oh, Lamar, don't go there. Why did you go there? Never go there, Lamar. Never, ever go there. Not even kidding. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
This is the kind of news that sounds really, really cool. And maybe it's going to be really, really cool. Or maybe it's going to be an entire nightmare. 4,000 years ago, woolly mammoths walked the earth. They're extinct, but it looks like they're about to come back because researchers have announced a major breakthrough, and they say woolly mammoths may be walking the earth before 2028. Scientists from an outfit called Colossal Biosciences, and I'm just going to pause here because I need you to understand that naming your company Colossal Biosciences is so Jurassic Park, I can't even stand it, okay? They have successfully created what they call pluripotent stem cells using elephant cells that can grow into any cell in the body. And now they are, these cells open the door to the de-extinction of the woolly mammoth. They have extracted DNA from frozen woolly mammoths that have been extinct for over 4,000 years. And then they splice that woolly mammoth DNA with skin cells from modern Asian elephants. And those skin cells were then reprogrammed by Colossal Biosciences to become stem cells. And they added those stem cells to an egg from an Asian elephant. And then the eggs were stimulated to turn into embryos. And the embryos are going to be grown in an artificial womb, which Colossal Biosciences is working on developing right now, so that between today and 2028, we're going to have us a woolly mammoth walking the planet.
Wow.
That is so fantastic. Be okay. Yeah. That
maybe
is
it'll
really
be okay.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, when you know, when they opened that theme park in Costa Rica with dinosaurs, it just sounded like such a good idea. Let's go see real life dinosaurs. We just, you know, there were some things we didn't understand because, like, if you remember the plot of Jurassic Park, the DNA that they used to create to bring the dinosaurs back had a feature in it that nobody stopped to think about. And here it is. See, they had all female dinosaurs at Jurassic Park, I will remind you, for those of you who haven't seen the movie in a hot minute. But because of the DNA they used to bring them back from extinction, there was a mutation that was possible. They could change their sex and reproduce. So in a herd of all female velociraptors, a couple of them were like, damn, it's always ladies' night up in here. And they changed into males and impregnated the females. And that is how the world ended in the movie Jurassic Park. But that probably wouldn't happen in real life because I'm sure the team at Colossal Biosciences has thought about everything.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And money doesn't mean anything to them. So they were offered some sort of a, you know, negative sort of deal. They wouldn't take it.
Do you know what they want to do with these woolly mammoths once they get them back? They're not just like, you know, a tourist attraction. Because woolly mammoths can survive in extreme cold and extremely harsh environments, Mm-hmm. They're hoping to unleash a herd of woolly mammoths into the Arctic to help repair the damaged Arctic ecosystems.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm the mammoth, and all of a sudden I'm down there, and it's kind of on the bleak side, that doesn't excite me. But I guess they can survive in that environment.
Now, I am going to tell you another cool thing that they learned over at Colossal Biosciences that is fascinating. Mice almost always die of cancer, but elephants almost never do. So in their study, in their research to figure out how to bring the woolly mammoth back from extinction, they've also discovered that elephants are weirdly resistant to cancer. And can they take from that something that would help human beings be more weirdly resistant to cancer? So let's just hope that this doesn't go all Jurassic Park on us, that the woolly mammoths don't trigger a mass extinction event before this group of scientists can figure out how to cure cancer in humans.
Love the idea that they're going to be down in the, the Antarctic?
Arctic.
Up in the Arctic.
Yeah. It's 2024, y'all. They're planning to have this rolling out of the laboratory before 2028. What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
New York City is the noisiest city in the U.S., and Jersey City is right behind it. There's a company called Steelguard Safety, and I guess they do a lot of construction stuff, and they also monitor things, whatever. But nowhere is noise pollution worse than in New York City. It is a city with 524 construction permits issued per 100,000 people. Okay?
Wow.
And it's an average of 78 bars and clubs per square mile.
Yeah.
The ranking considered a number of noise pollution factors, like including traffic, population density, public transit, construction projects, per capita, nightlife, public parks. Jersey City also landed in the top three, trailing right behind Chicago, which sees more flights per day and more construction projects. Jersey City, though, has more public transit vehicles per square mile than New York City by a ton. There's no way around it. Jersey City is often a huge traffic jam, and it's because of some of the public transit stuff. And it has an average of one-way commute of nearly 38 minutes to get out of Jersey. Newark landed in the number four spot. This is a very loud area. They have lower population density and less bars, but you've got 1,000 commercial flights per day. All of this goes together. It's never quiet. It's never quiet. But, you know, New York's a city that never sleeps. Well, they can't, okay? You can't get away from it. New Jersey, everywhere. That's a ton of noise.
It is.
When I would
be in New York for a long period, and by long, I mean a week or two working, the one thing that it took me a while to get used to, and after a while you don't hear it, are all the taxi cabs honking. I think they tried to cut down on it, but I'd go to bed at 11 o'clock at night and it's bop, bop, bop for hours. You just have to figure out how to turn it off. That's got to add to the noise level that you're talking about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.